It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Of the 6 years he's had in Boston, was this the hardest team to coach for him?
That's probably a good question for him. It was one of the hardest teams to love from my standpoint. It was, I'd just rather answer for myself. I wasn't coaching him, but I was watching him, and it was frustrating. It was a tough year for everybody concerned. I think the fans all feel that, and we're, you know, we're going to try to make it better, but we all feel that, and we, man, you know, the highs and lows, and it just has been, it's been frustrating.
That might be as close as Wick Grosbeck ever gets to ripping his team. Hard team to love.
Again, I mean, didn't we say that over and over again? Like, and again, so this is the owner of the team. We said all year long, I hate them. I hate them. I can't stand them. They're unlikable. They're not a likable team. Now, again, I'm putting words in his mouth, so I want to be careful here. But I think effectively that's what he's saying, is he didn't like them either.
So his, you know, his tone, he won't say underachieved. He'll say something like a disconnect between the potential and the actual. And I just think if there was a season that ever called for an owner, for an executive to say, this is not acceptable, and it's on the uniform personnel. I think, you know, you can't do that every year, and you can't ride your team like that because you'll lose them. But every once in a while, I think it's okay to make that statement. And if ever called for it, it was this year. And well, in Wick's fashion, in Wick's personality, he did. It's still not how I would want to hear it as a fan, you know, but well, that's the way it is over there in Greenland. It's an optimistic, positive sort of outlook, and that permeates from the owner to the GM to the fans to the media to the way the whole Green Team experience is.
In a perfect world, though, he would be ripping them like that Stars owner did to
exactly
Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin earlier in the season.
Exactly. The paying customers have a right to a better product than you gave them. Than we gave them. And to be a little, you know, a little more heavy-handed. Then again, if he's trying to recruit Kyrie back, he can't haul off and rip him. Maybe that happens on July 2nd when he's a New York Knick, but he's not going to do that now. And so that's the other takeaway there. He wasn't even going to answer the Kyrie Irving questions, which, you know, I don't know how else you read that when Kyrie starts here by saying, I'm coming back. Then Danny Ainge in the middle of the year says it's an engagement, not a wedding. And then at the end of the year, the owner won't even answer the question. So which way is that thing headed? It ain't headed in the direction of where it was when the season started, because he was coming back. I think they'd all say, yeah, there's a full expectation that he's coming back. So they're treading very lightly on that. And it's still very much an open question. If not, he's gone and they're just holding out whatever hope they possibly can. You want to play that exchange, Jimmy? Annie Ainge said at one point during the regular season that your relationship with Kyrie Irving is an engagement, not a marriage. So I ask you, is the engagement still on as far as you know?
I'm not going to comment on, as I said, emailing you guys before, really not going to talk about specific guys except in real generalities. Kyrie's given us 2 years of strong effort. He's going to decide what he's going to do down the road. He hasn't commented publicly, so I'm going to respect that.
Have you spoke to him?
I have spoken to him.
So have you had talks with he and his people, and has there been a dialogue, or is it just sort of a see you later, have a good offseason, we'll, you know, don't call us, we'll call you? What was the name? Have there been ongoing talks, I guess, is my question.
So Sorry, not going to comment on that. But this is a process that will go through longer than this week.
Okay, so we just cut it there.
So I think, you know, everything we hear about Kyrie, and again, you know, the stuff that was coming out of there this year, Kyrie is his own guy. He's going to do his own thing. You know, I sense that they feel if they start to try to push him,
exactly,
he'll go the other way.
It's certainly his personality, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So that they're not going to push him because they know how they'll react to that.
Like your temperamental, moody wife, girlfriend, etc.
Walking on eggshells.
Yeah, walking on eggshells.
I mean, he'll do the opposite. Right? So, you know what? We're not going to do anything. We're going to have a nice, calm, level-headed conversation with him. Listen, you do what you want to do, and you empower him and hope that he picks you. My guess is that that is what they are clinging to because they know if they push, he'll go the other way, and that'll be it. I mean, it's consistent with
this. I think it's absolutely right.
It's consistent with his personality, so why get his backup? Because that'll just hurt. And so I think they have the right read on the player. I just don't know that it's going to matter.
Okay, ask for your reaction. Here it is. Aaron in Dartmouth. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, guys, real quick. I think that if you put a gun to the head of any of the Celtics owners and gave them the truth serum, they are hoping against hope that the Bruins do not win the Stanley Cup because they are definitely the ugly girl that didn't get to go to the dance at that point.
They are on that. They ruined our spring. I mean,
you'd have the grand slam.
Not that I would have expected them to beat the Warriors, but you would have been able to carry this thing, this dream, this that quest forward for at least another month or so and really have it on the table. And boy, did they deprive us of that. No question about it. No question about it.
I mean, if and when the Bruins wrap up this series, right, and we all know they're up 3-0.
The Celtics should be in the finals.
Boston will be 10-1 in its last 11 postseason rounds, and we all know who lost the one.
So that would be frustrating, no question. And but the most frustrating thing, as I asked him, it's one thing if you come up short of expectations because of injury. It's one thing if you come up short of expectations because your roster's a little short. Those things happen, and then, that's what the reason is. But when you have the talent, and you have, for the most part, again, the health, and you lose because of what? Ego? Personality?
Selfishness.
Selfishness? Oh, that's by far the worst part. And that's the unacceptable part. That's why you're not still playing? Because they all acted like a bunch of children? They were all worried about whose team it was? You got to be kidding me. Dan in Salem. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Listen, I saw a report the other day that there's a potential of Horford, if he doesn't opt out, at least taking a team-friendly deal. But in the likelihood that, let's say he does opt out and Kyrie's out the door, wouldn't that be the best thing for this team right now?
I think so.
With Kemba Walker being on the market, he's got similar production as Kyrie, not as much of a headache as Kyrie would be at all. And I do want to have a moment with Maz real quick because I have an issue with something he said on Monday. Maz, you made a comment that you said that if Kyrie goes out the door, do you want another season of 48 wins? How many wins did the Celtics have this season?
48.
Okay, exactly. So now we're going to have less of a headache, but maybe we'll have a better player and maybe a more team-friendly basketball game instead of what we saw this year, which is just an utter disaster. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, Dan. The thing about Horford back on a team-friendly deal for extra years, I don't know what that does for you. And I like Al. I just want to have flexibility. And isn't that the greatest commodity in the NBA is to be flexible?
Yes.
I mean, it's so hard. Once you get into trouble, it's hard to get out in that league salary-wise.
Especially with guys' contracts coming up every 2 or 3 years now.
So what's a team-friendly deal for Al? $20 million a year versus the 30 he makes?
3 and 70.
All right. So that, I don't know. That still feels like that puts me over the cap. It still feels like I don't have any flexibility. And Al, for as much as and many good things that he does, he's not a game changer. He's a role player. He's a really, really good role player. But he's not going to lead you anywhere. He's just going to augment what you have and be a great piece. So if Kyrie's gone, I'd rather Al walk out the door too, renounce his rights, and then you have close to a max slot left. And keep that flexibility. That's what I think would be their best course of action.
I mean, it feels to me like Horford taking a team-friendly deal is only beneficial if Kyrie is here or someone like
right,
Kyrie.
Right, exactly. Fine. Right? And then you go over with his bird rights, and then you have Kyrie and Davis. You make the run, and he's a piece to a championship team. Fine. Then I'm with you.
I mean, that makes some sense to me. But if Kyrie is gone, honestly, I'm not sure Horford's going to want to stay, if that's the case. Golden State, here I come.
Bob and Needham, what do you think about Wick Grosbeck?
First of all, the NBA in and of itself has a big problem. So
So Zion gets drafted, or is supposedly going to be drafted number one overall. AD still doesn't want to stay there for any reason because they don't want to be in that market. So apparently the only four teams that have any virtuosity is the L.A. teams or the New York teams because they want to do their branding or whatever it is. So your team got lucky with Giannis. Other than that, I mean, he was a transcendental, a talent. What if they didn't get him? They'd be nowhere. Nobody wants to go to any of these cities other than L.A., apparently, or New York. How do they have 25 teams that nobody wants to go to?
Let's see how that plays out, Bob. I think the league, if it shakes out, will be better than it's ever been next year. And for the first time, you might have true competitive balance, meaning there's not just two teams that could win a championship. There might be five. Which for the NBA is a crap ton, which would be the most in my lifetime.
It would be a real postseason.
And you would have a real postseason tournament, and you would have in my lifetime, you could go into any year and say there's two teams, maybe three. Just follow me. If LeBron gets someone in LA, whether it's Kyrie Irving or someone else, but someone legit, and Golden State is diminished by Durant leaving, maybe Klay Thompson leaving. Now those two teams are equal. Never mind where that leaves Denver and Portland. They're sort of that, or Houston. That sort of evens the field with all those teams. You come out here, Giannis in Milwaukee's not going anywhere. Maybe Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto. New York builds with Durant and Kyrie Irving or another piece. And then Philly, who I hate but still has some talent. Now you're talking about three, four teams. What is that? And for the first time in my lifetime, you might actually have a league. And not just a couple of teams that could win it. So I think whether it's New York, L.A., or whatnot, and I know you hate it, but those markets are important for the league. You're better off if the Knicks are for real and the Lakers are for real. You just are as a league. And I think they're on the verge of being as healthy and competitive and interesting as it's been in my lifetime.
I mean, you really would have no difference, minimal difference between number one and number six in the league. Or number seven, even.
I mean, this Golden State thing's a joke. And the last 4 years, I know it's always been a top-heavy league, but it's been Golden State LeBron for 4+ years, every single, that's a joke. I mean, even the Lakers and the Celtics had the good sense to take a year or two off in between some of their, it wasn't every single year it was Bird and Magic. It felt like it, but there were actually years off in there. In this run, it's been two teams, and the second team is whatever team LeBron is on. And it's just, the league needs more than that. I feel like they're on the verge of getting it.
I mean, it's part of the reason I think the Eastern Conference Finals are going to be great. Kawhi Leonard against Giannis.
You don't know who's going to win that.
I mean, that's a good series. Like, that's a good matchup, those two guys.
And if New York elevates, you're still there. I don't know what Philly, but I mean, you're talking about, it's wide. It'll be more wide open than it's ever been. And I think that's good for the league. I do. And I'm sorry, the Knicks being good is good for the league. And it's even good for you. It's good for you. Those Knicks-Celtics games next year with Durant and whoever, that's going to be good. It's going to be good for everybody. Nick and Waltham, go ahead, Nick.
Hi. So with Rozier on First Take yesterday, run his mouth, and Kyrie possibly gone to New York. How about the Celtics signing Rondo? He's a UFA this year.
Okay.
God no. God no.
There's a lot of great point guards out there. I don't put him on the list, and that's not someone I want.
And you had a team with all kinds of internal issues this year, and you're going to bring that guy in? What? Like, again, you know, if you're going to bring in a guy who is a superstar and a pain in the ass, fine. Him? He can't even shoot.
Well, if it's going to get ripped apart, though, and Kyrie's going to leave, or maybe some pieces get traded
off. It's not
off,
getting ripped apart.
Well, still, if it's going to be like that, I'm for chaos. We'll need something to talk about, so I'd be for it.
No. I don't want Rondo. I'm done with Rondo.
You want them to be good. You want them to be good. Andrew and Melrose. Go ahead, Andrew. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So 2 points about the lottery, especially with Wick Rospeck's interview. I feel like since he said for a big team to get the first overall pick, I feel like regardless, Zion going number one is going to be big picture, and bigger picture is Anthony Davis being traded to a big market. Secondly, I think for the Boston Celtics, the best option for us is Memphis getting the second pick. You know, with the writing on the wall for Kyrie leaving, I feel like with the second and third best players being point guards, you know, Mike Conley to Boston is an option. Just want to get your opinion.
Okay, how do you feel about Conley?
So, I mean, he's one of the most overpaid players in the league. He's good, but he's 32, 30, whatever the number is.
Would you rather have him or Kemba Walker?
Kemba Walker.
Yeah, Walker.
Walker.
This is the thing about losing Curry. There's a crap ton of good point guards.
So I want to see how big Conley is. I don't think he's that big.
I believe he's 6'3".
Okay, allegedly, right?
He's got this year, next year, and a player option on a max contract.
So I don't love that contract.
So I don't love the contract either. He's listed at 6'1", and there's a rumor out there that Phoenix is going to end up getting Conley, that they're going to trade for him now. I heard that this morning. So, but, you know, do I like the player? Yeah. Yeah, I like the player. I don't know if I love the player, but sure, I like him. I hate the contract.
We'll continue with your thoughts on Celtics, NBA draft lottery, the Wick Grosbeck interview all day long. We do have to get to your Stanley Cup-bound Boston Bruins.
Yep!
Lisa, there's one team that fulfilled their potential and didn't leak it all away.
We want the cup!
Stop it.
We want
Stop
the
it.
Cup!
That makes me crazy. Every time I hear that, I want to move to a different city.
I was mocking them.
Dad hates fun.
I don't like that chant.
Yeah.
There's only one word for that chant, Murray, and I can't use it. I don't mean anything by it.
I want the cup.
I just don't want to hear you chanting that.
Yeah,
it makes my skin crawl.
Felga, let me do it this way then. We want the cup. We want the cup.
Bruins next. Don't go anywhere.
Felga and Maz.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Felger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the sports hub.
Of the 6 years he's had in Boston, was this the hardest team to coach for him?
That's probably a good question for him. It was one of the hardest teams to love from my standpoint. I'd just rather answer for myself. I wasn't coaching him, but I was watching him, and it was frustrating. It was a tough year for everybody concerned. I think the fans all feel that, and we're going to try to make it better. But we all feel that, and we the highs and lows, and it just has been, it's been frustrating.
That might be as close as Wick Grosbeck ever gets to ripping his team. Hard team to love.
Didn't we say that over and over again? So this is the owner of the team. We said all year long, I hate them. I hate them. I can't stand them. They're unlikable. They're not a likable team. Now, again, I'm putting words in his mouth, so I want to be careful here. But I think effectively that's what he's saying, is he didn't like them either.
So his tone, he won't say underachieved. He'll say something like a disconnect between the potential and the actual. And I just think if there was a season that ever called for an owner, for an executive to say, this is not acceptable.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
10 seconds left. Hamilton, fans on it in the neutral zone. 5. Out at center ice, Corrali. Couldn't get much on the wrister. Out at center ice it comes. The horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. This game is final. The Boston Bruins have taken a stranglehold on the Eastern Conference final. They come into Carolina, win a 2-1 over the Hurricanes. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series. They've won 6 consecutive games in the playoffs for the first time since 1978. And for the first time all year, Carolina has dropped a playoff game on home ice.
All right, let's get to the Bruins. Again, a team that's taken advantage of their opportunity, unlike the Green. Thoughts last night, Maz?
I mean, again, you know, I thought Carolina was going to come out flying. They did. I don't know how the Bruins withstood that without giving up a goal. And to be able to, for Tuukka to be able to brick up the net again, and they got a couple of breaks in there, too.
Good goaltending and good fortune.
Absolutely. No question about it. But I will say this, man, they don't crack. Like, I give them that. You know, they don't crack. They don't wilt. No matter how hard you hit them, no matter how hard the waves come, they just hang in there. Like, it's really, dare I say, a very Patriot-like quality that when things are at their worst, they just find a way to hang around and keep it together until they can sort of gather themselves and get the game and going in their direction again, and they pop in a couple of goals. So I don't know how you don't love them. I don't know how you don't love them. So it feels like this thing's over. 3-0 is almost guaranteed over, although we know from experience it isn't always true. But they get 2 of the next 4 at home. Like, you know, it should be a layup now.
Excluding Rask, that's the worst period of hockey I think that they've played in this playoff run, that first period. And for them to get out of that, tied at 0, I actually was relaxed because I said they're going to win this game. That was the best that the Hurricanes, that's the best they're going to get from that Hurricanes team. And for them to get out of that period unscathed is incredible. And that's credit to Rask and their balls. You know, that whole thing that they've had all season long, that they were able to hang in there and win that game. The resiliency is real. It's their best attribute of this team this whole year.
To me, I thought the resiliency was at its best after Rask let in the bad goal. Because that's a point where it's like, oh, okay, you know, the dam breaks and you can't hold on. And that happens to a lot of teams. One bad goal, the building gets up. Now they've, you know, finally punctured you, and it goes from bad to worse, and you can't hang on. And I thought, and there's been a couple different cases of this throughout the playoffs in all 3 rounds, that at that point of the game is when they actually sort of slowed it down, and I felt controlled the pace of play for the rest of the way. And that was late second period when Carolina got to 2-1 on that Dahan goal. But, and it's not like the Bruins dominated from there. They didn't dominate. But I thought it wasn't like
they were comfortable, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't like you were deluged from that goal on. You, for the most part, 51% at least, controlled the neutral zone, controlled play, controlled possession, were on them more than they were on you. And I think that's the goal that I, you know, the first 10 minutes was a combination of Rask and just in this amazing zone that he's in and them missing their opportunities.
I mean, that shot by Teravainen a minute into the game. How do you miss that net?
20 seconds into the game, he's got the whole net. Rask is ass over tea kettle, and he just misses. So that's not anything Rask or you did. That's just slash good fortune, them being them. them being them. And then the 5-on-3, the 4-on-3, I mean, really not with not one dangerous chance in that. It's just Dougie Hamilton winding up and firing from the point for a minute and a half with a 4-on-3 and a 5-on-3. I mean, that was ridiculous.
TV broadcast was all over him, too, for not, you know, pinching down. And they were like, what is he doing? He's like, you know, and he looked like a complete fool. And he has been one of the big liabilities for the Hurricanes so far in this series. And good.
I mean, he was shooting from 40 feet. He should have been shooting from 20 or 15. Like, what the hell's he doing out there? I thought that was, like, the huge part of the game because I thought – I sort of felt the deck was stacked against the Bruins there a little bit in the first period. And when I say that, I don't mean bad calls per se. I just mean the way it was going. Like, they're all over you. They're desperate. They're getting power plays. And then they got a 5-on-3, and I thought, you're not getting out of this.
And they did.
Krejci was the second penalty, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking,
club some guy in the head.
He did. He whacked him.
Oh, my God.
Part of me liked it.
It was Aho, I think.
Yeah, whoever. It was
Oh,
Aho.
He did. He absolutely whacked him. I mean, and I thought, good God. Like, I thought, there's no way. You're giving up a goal here. There's just no way you're getting out of this. And they did, Murray. They did. They got out of it. Like 20-6, the shots were at one point. I don't know what it finished in the first period.
Oh, it was 11-1 at one point. It was 12-3 in scoring chances at one point. And it wasn't even, it was out of control.
I mean, it's one thing to say that it was like the ice was tilted, but to have it happen like that, the first 10 minutes were in the Bruins zone and the puck didn't go in. I mean, it was a freaking miracle that the puck didn't go into that net, and it was Rask. Like, it really was for them to withstand that. Like, you had to think Carolina went in. Remember the game we were talking about with the Bruins where they went in 2-1 at the end of the period and it felt like they were losing? Who the hell was that? They gave up a bad goal to someone, Columbus maybe.
I can't remember. Me neither.
But it felt like they were losing. This game, they went in 0-0 and it felt like they were winning.
Oh, no question. No question. Absolutely. How'd you feel about Justin Williams, their leader, their captain?
Loser.
Losing is cool.
He ain't no loser, but
I mean, he was last night. And did you hear him after the game? I don't know if we have some of the sound. He sounded like a bitter loser after the game. He's lost all cool because of Krug and Brad Marchand. He's lost it. And that's supposed to be their leader. And I know what his resume is. And he has been one of the great pros in the league. But in this series and last night, that guy was a bum and a bitter baby.
I mean, especially with the way the special teams in this series have gone into the whole postseason, you're going to end up in the box three times. What are you, stupid? I mean, that's just colossally dumb.
Well, the disallowed goal, too. He punched Backes in the head while Backes is on it, you know, face down on the ice.
Three penalties in the first period, and that's not even including sucker punching Backes in the back of the head. And not that I'm morally outraged by that.
No, me either, but still, he's just...
He did. So he could have easily had four trips to the box, but I find it funny that the hockey people aren't on him for it. Like, Jimmy, would you cue up Rod Brind'Amour on Justin Williams? So, we have the sound of Don Cherry as well, defending Justin Williams for getting his team in the right place. When I talked to Amonte about it last night on TV, he's still, you know, that's Justin Williams. He's leading the team. I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes were a bat out of Hades last night. They were on fire. And is Justin Williams a part of it? Stupid penalties and all. And because the hockey people don't get on him. Here's the coach.
Are you surprised to see Justin get maybe a little off his game a bit, you know, particularly going after one guy for, you know, majority of that period in the three penalties?
Yeah, I'd have to look at it again. A couple of them I thought were kind of light, you know, especially this time of year. I think that's the thing. But he has to understand how they're calling it. I mean, you know, generally in playoffs, you think you're going to let it go a little more. And there's a lot of nicky-tacky penalties there, but that they're calling them. So you gotta kind of understand that, but he's just trying to win. I mean, he's giving you everything he has, and everyone did tonight. That's what at least I'm, you know, happy about, is at least that looked like a team that had a chance to win, and versus the other two games, which didn't really sit right.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people, hockey people, look at Justin Williams and say he set the tone
because they like him.
They all do.
It's his reputation, right? He's a battle-tested, battle-hardened winner. You know, he's a guy that he seems like a good guy off the ice, all of that. So they all like him, and no one wants to call it for what it is.
But Brind'Amour is right. They call it differently. The league has come to a spot where they call the playoffs closer to the way they do in the regular season, and that's sort of new for a guy like Brind'Amour or a guy like Justin Williams, who's 30-freaking-7. You know, they played in an era when it was a different game in the playoffs. Now it's not really. They call it. So I don't know if that's for better or worse, but certainly Williams didn't adjust to that last night. That's for sure.
No, it's just I'm sorry. Your captain can't be in the box three times in a period. You can set tone doing other things. I mean, again, look at it. Like, we use Backus as an example, okay? Not that he's a captain, but because he's limited. So Backus's job is to set tone. It's not like he's been spending every game in the box.
It's true.
Like, there's a line there, and this guy went over it. He got bagged. I mean, that was stupid. You can't do that. Not when your penalty kill sucks and the other team's the best power play team in the postseason. The Bruins have 15 power play goals in the playoffs. 15. Nobody else in the league is in double digits. It's like they're so different from the Bruins of other years. It's like, but you're just asking for trouble if you go in the box against this team.
Okay.
It's just dumb.
So those are some of our Bruins thoughts. Not all. We'll start picking our way through it with your thoughts as well right after this.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome. Of course it is. That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tuukka, your teammates keep saying Tuukka's in a zone, Tuukka's in a zone. So do you agree with that? And I know what the expression means. What does that mean to you? Do you feel differently? Do you feel more confident, calm, poised,
no,
relaxed?
No, I don't. Like I've said many times before, I felt good for many, many months. I think it's just the way, when you're seeing the puck, you feel comfortable. It's about timing, patience, and all that. And I think, experience helps that. So you just try to stay mentally focused and sharp night in, night out, and not get rattled about anything. But being in the zone, nobody knows what that means. It's just, it looks that. But yeah, like the way I usually want to play, I want to play calm and make myself look big and maybe even tough chances, try to, make it look easy, kind of. So, if that it's in the zone, then so be it. But.
Is Tuukka Rask in the zone? Let me answer. Yes. Yes.
I would hope so.
Yes. Oh, my God. I don't know if I've ever seen a better example of it than someone being in a zone. And there is even a question, and he won't admit it, because then that would be admitting that he wasn't in the zone in the past, or he didn't play as well in the past. And those who want to support him, sort of take the same thing, which is, well, this is what he's always been.
Or it's just bad juju to say something like that
right now. Or maybe, he doesn't want to jinx it either way. But, so he had some saves that were just great saves. The pad save on Ferland early on.
Great save.
Where there was a little flurry in front of the first couple minutes, and he flashes the right pad. Amazing save. He stops number 8 there on the break-in on the backhand. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name. In the first period, great save. Excuse me. Aho on the break in the second period. Post-to-post, sliding across the net. Tremendous save. Then there were others where he was just in position and it hit him. And there was no better example than the glove save he made, where he never saw the puck.
He didn't even know.
But that to me, and I'm not taking anything away from him because he was positioned perfectly, and that's where he's supposed to keep your glove. And he was square to the shooter, and he was big in the net, and he had the angle perfectly, and he couldn't see the puck. So, I mean, what's he going to do? And it lands right in the glove perfectly. And if to me, if that's not being in the zone, then the zone doesn't exist. That fella's in the zone.
Oh, my gosh. That one was ridiculous. And again, you start to see this sort of thing like, the one in the Columbus series when Foligno went in and he went sprawling and Foligno shot it right in his glove. Like, you're going to get those too, right? Everything's going right for the guy. I mean, and the one you're talking about last night, like after it went in his glove, you sort of saw him tip his head like, holy crap, I never saw that. Right? Because he knows that sometimes you just, but he is in the right spot. He is. There's no question about that.
He's in the zone.
He's covering as much of it as the net as he possibly can when he doesn't see the puck.
Is this the best he's ever played?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's the best he's ever played over this amount of time. Maz keeps pointing out, and others have brought up the conference final against Pittsburgh in 2013. He had a
985.
So I've seen him do it in a series. I've never seen him put three straight together. In 2013, against Toronto in the first round, he kind of sucked. That was not a good series against Toronto. And then he got better in the second round, was at the Rangers.
Yeah.
And then he was lights out against Pittsburgh, and then he sort of went back towards the end of that Blackhawks series. So he didn't string all four together. He's had three straight, and he's gotten better by the round. And that I haven't quite seen. So that I think is new, that he's just as good, if not better, in the third round as he is in the first round. Now, of course, he's got to do it one more for that all to matter. But that, to me, what sets this apart is that it's not just one series. And I think each one has been better than the last.
I mean, they've played 16 games now. Like 16, we went into it talking about the short leash. Here we are 16 games later, and now they're up 3-0, and the idea of sitting him, to me, is preposterous.
So, Jimmy, has the numbers after, you said 11 games, Jimmy?
After 11 postseason wins for Tuukka Rask in 2013, 940 save percentage, 1.85 goals against average. This year, 939 save percentage, 1.96 goals against average. Okay. So about the same.
Okay, yeah, a little higher. But I just think the nature of it's different.
The play's been more consistent.
Yeah,
is what
I mean,
you're saying.
I think he's good against Toronto this year. He wasn't that good against Toronto in 2013, and then he spiked against Pittsburgh. So it was a little bit more of a up and down thing in that year. I feel like he's been, and again, game one, if you go, which again feels like 10 years ago, but he didn't feel that strong in game one against Toronto, but that was a good series for him. He was great at the end of the Columbus series, and he's carried it right into this one, where now it's just, now he's out of his boobs, as I like to say.
I mean, you really could argue, what, he's stolen the last three road games for you?
Last night he freaking stole, because he stole the first 10 minutes, which means he stole the period, which means you stole the game. Last night, that isn't one I've thrown around very often. Hard to say your goalie stole a game when you've scored four goals or whatever. You scored two. And you were under siege.
It felt like it could have been 6-0 after that first period.
You stole that one.
No question about it. Again, I mean, this is now, I think it's three at least that he's totally won for you almost on his own.
Connor in Pawtucket, your thoughts.
Felger and Maz, guys, you guys kind of stole the thunder right there. But absolutely, I mean, like, how many times have we talked about trying to trade Rask and, wanted to ship him out of town, and now he's at the right time, at the absolute right time. He's playing the best goal, the best performance of his career. And the first period, the first 10 minutes last night was like an onslaught with Carolina.
I'll tell you what,
but
it sort of happens like that, Connor. I mean, they tried to trade Tim Thomas the offseason of his Stanley Cup year. Sometimes it just works that way. And for the first time, Rask has had a coach who sort of held him accountable and sort of calls him out post-game when it calls for it. They went into the playoffs where Cassidy was real adamant and saying, we have two guys with playoff experience, and thereby just sort of putting everyone on notice that the goalie switch would be more likely this year than any other year. And wouldn't you know it, it times out where Rask has his most consistent playoff run. Sometimes it just works that way.
I mean, look, again, if you want to take it further, you're talking about human nature. Is it a coincidence that David Krejci had his best year in how many years? The year after they went out and thought about getting John Tavares?
Let's not forget, and it feels like a million years ago now, he had that leave of absence early in the season, too.
That's right.
Where who knows what was going on, but maybe he realized, you know, what his potential was, and he has found it here. Who the hell knows?
Okay, but as we've all learned, if he craps a bet against San Jose or St. Louis, it really goes for naught.
I mean, isn't really unbelievable.
I don't know if that's fair or not. But
it's not fair, but that's the way it is.
But it's the way it sports. Call it, it's sports. Until you win, people look at you differently. Period, story over. And I happen to do think it's fair. Because that's the only thing that matters to me, is that banner up there and the rings and that thing. And so either you, because I always treat that as a final exam. You either got to get over that threshold and win that, or... And if you don't, you're considered a different kind of player. And that's just it. So that is the world. And Rass has got one more to go. But I've never seen him put three together like he has. I don't know if he's ever done that before.
I mean, he's dynamite right now. He's easily the Conn Smythe winner in hockey.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
And look at all that space for Teravainen. And he shoots it back in between the net and Rask.
Slavin dusts it off. Wrister deflected. Rask to save. Rebound Rask. What a stop. And then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter.
He's been dialed in since April 8th or 10th, whatever it is, since we started. He's been excellent. You know, he really hasn't had a poor night. He's had a couple that were, I'd say, above average, and the rest have been very good. Tonight, was first period was excellent.
David Backus pounding on it, and Carolina Hurricanes pounding on Backus. Near circle, Nordstrom. Center's deflected. They score! Chris Wagner! Krejci left circle, Marchand pulls it to the slot. Backhand, they score! Marchand with a backhand shot. A power play goal. 2-0 Bruins.
Falk goes across. Here's DeHaan. His shot scores! Calvin DeHaan finds a hole, finally, in Tuukka Rask. Far side is sent out in front. And Stoll's deflection denied by Rask as he squeezed the right arm to the midsection so it wouldn't squirt through.
I felt good for many, many months.
Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series.
Come into the locker room after this win, and the hunger is definitely there. No one's really that happy about the game because we know we haven't really done anything yet.
I mean, I think we just have such a special group here. And Chris Wagner selling out there and blocking a shot. I mean, there aren't big enough hugs for that guy right now. He's feeling it. What he did was so selfless, and I think that's just the kind of team that we have.
Good spot to be in, but far from being over. You know, obviously, we're happy with getting the win tonight, but again, we've got to let it go. It's all about the next one.
Jimmy Stewart's game mix there. You heard the Chris Wagner comment. He takes that shot late. Probably broke his arm. Probably, he is done. It's nice they can just slot Achari back in there, who's ready to go, but that is a loss. I think Wagner's better than Achari.
He's been good last few games, too.
He's a bigger threat to score anyway. Achari's better around the forecheck and a more physical guy, but Wagner's got a little more skill. Not that either are super. Anyway, Wagner's going to be a bigger threat to score than Nola Achari. And it's just amazing. They get great contributions from those guys, from the Crowley, Acharis, Wagners, Nordstroms, those guys. And still Nordstrom's not my favorite, but he's part of that group that's producing. It still isn't that fourth line that they had during the year. It's some sort of
hybrid. Okay. Yeah. Knockoff.
But they're still getting it. So
Nordstrom's the one that made the pass on that play last night,
yes,
right?
That's right.
That was a great pass. And really, one of them has done something every series. Corrali, like, that line was huge last night.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Bruins, we'll get back to Whit Grosbeck and the Celtics and the NBA Draft Lottery next hour. Rick in Milford. Go ahead, Rick. So are our phones down?
They should be back up and working.
Rick in Milford, do you hear me? Okay, let's try one more. How about Joel in Framingham? You're up next. Jim, you want to pop him up for me? Line four, Joel in Framingham. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
This is Mike in the truck.
Okay, Mike in the truck. You go ahead then.
That's all right. I said I'd call back and give the Hurricanes their due. Granted, they didn't win the game, but they very easily could have and maybe should have won the game. If not for horrible puck luck and Tuukka standing on his head.
Okay, so Mike, this is you, not us, that your phone blows. Do you have to give some, Maz said don't take the cheese on the Hurricanes yesterday. They sounded like they were done. Maz said they were playing possum. Do you think the way they played proved it, they were playing possum?
Yes, absolutely. I think they came out and they were an angry team and they were intent on proving that they were better than they were in the first two games and that was a poor representation of who they were. So, look, if I'm a fan of that team, I'm looking at it saying the future looks pretty good. I mean, they get some good young players and they're good on D and all of that. I think they're short a couple of pieces and they're up the creek now. You know, game four now for them is a pride game. That's all it is. Just don't get swept. They win game five, then we start talking. But I got to believe that given the way their year has gone, you're probably going to get something similar at the start of game four.
Normally I'd play the Chicken Little thing that it's not over. They blew this before. This is so different than 2010. It's not even funny. 2010, they were, they didn't have any experience in winning. None of them were hurt. None of them had. Krejci had gotten hurt. Seidenberg had gotten hurt. Rask was 24 years old. He was a net that year, not Thomas. That Philly team had some older guys. I don't know. It's just different. Don't tell me Bergeron, Chara at this stage, Rask the way he's playing are going to lose. No, it's just not. It's a matter of when, not if. So whether it's in four tomorrow night or Saturday night back in here in Boston. That's it. See you later, Carolina. If it's on Thursday, they're going to have almost 2 weeks off. They're going to have, I told you, and again, I don't know if this is for sure, but the last 3 years, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals was on Memorial Day night, which is Monday the 27th this year. And now if somehow San Jose, St. Louis ends in five and you end in four, maybe the league ramps that up and game two is on Memorial Day. But that Memorial Day night, I think, is a slot that NBC wants. And so, whether that's game one or game two. Either way, if you clinch tomorrow and game one of the finals is the 27th, 11 days. That is
an eternity.
That is a gap that even the NBA would look at and go, whoa.
Yeah, that's an eternity. I mean, that's a long time to be off. So, you can't control that. I mean, it sort of is what it is. It's got to happen. You got to see what happens in the other series. And there is a benefit, which is that if San Jose goes the distance and they're the team, I mean, they're going to come in banged up. Like, how many seven-game series in a row can you play at this pace? And I don't know if it's what it was, 8 years ago when the Bruins won the Cup, and it was just a physical grind the whole way to get there. I don't think it's quite as hard now as it used to be. But still, that's asking a lot to play that many games.
Okay, let's grab our buddy Cam in Taunton on line five. Hi, Cam.
Maz, you said that stat that they have 15 power play goals. And, to take Felger's quote, I spit out my coffee. I wasn't even drinking any. To compare this team, I remember in 2011, when they would go on the power play, watching those games, I would sigh. I'm like, they're going to lose all their momentum because they're going to crank the puck right in the goalie's crest or not even get it on goal because they're going to pass 500 times. It's unbelievable that they have 15 power play goals. In 2011, they didn't score a power play goal until game three against Tampa. That's game three against Tampa was the first time they scored a power play. They didn't score a single power play goal against either Montreal or Philly. It was game three in Tampa when they scored their first power play goal. It's unbelievable how far they've come.
Okay, thanks for the call, Cam. I'll tell you, they've timed it out well, too, because now they call penalties in the playoffs, which is a whole different thing. I mean, there were 14 freaking penalties last night. And they're all legit. I mean, I don't know if there were any. There was one I still haven't seen. There was a slash on DeBrusque in the corner.
Oh, that was so cheesy.
Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, that was cheap.
Like, what the hell was that?
No, that was cheap. That shouldn't have been a penalty.
They said it on the TV broadcast. Like, we don't really see it here. That one was that was a chintzy call.
That was ridiculous. But other than that, guys were elbowing each other in the face. Krejci's clubbing guys across the face. You know, Williams is taking Krug's stick and tossing it across the ice. Like, those are all obvious calls. So I'm not saying, like, you know, other than the DeBrusque one, I don't know how many ticky-tack ones they are, but the point is there was a time when you didn't even call those, and now they get called. So now it's like, I think in 2011, you could get away with it. I think the Kings won the next year, shortly thereafter, and did the same thing. Had a wretched power play.
They did. They had a horrible power play, yeah.
And, you know, there was a time you could get away with it because it was just 5-on-5. Now I wonder. They call it like they do in the regular season, and you go on the power play in the playoffs, so you better have one.
It's totally ass backwards, isn't it? Like, it's so startling in that regard. I was just looking it up, and I think this right. That entire postseason, the Bruins scored 8 power play goals. They've already got 15. Right? They've already got 15. Like, that is just, that's ridiculous.
Okay, we're going to reset some of our thoughts on the NBA draft lottery. Was it a total porking for the Celtics? No. I do think it was a net loss. And for the first time since the Celtics were bounced 2 weeks ago in Milwaukee, Celtics owner Wick Grosbeck, first time anyone really from the front office has spoken. Wick Grosbeck joined us earlier on the program to discuss how he felt about his team this year, how they bowed out of the playoffs. We addressed the Kyrie Irving situation, where the team stands with Kyrie Irving, according to Wick. So we'll get to all that stuff, reset those items with you right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.